Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. It is our final hour. Getting you ready for week two of the NFL. We'll have some picks. We'll have some ideas. We'll look around the league beyond just what's happening at MetLife Stadium between the 49ers and the Jets. No George Kittle. That's today's big news. No George Kittle going to the game. That is going to make things a little bit more difficult than they originally looked to be. But the 49ers have to deal with it. And they better go deal with it because they better win this football game. The excuses aren't there for them. Well, this guy's hurt, that guy's hurt, that guy's hurt. Those are the Jets. You go beat them. They're bad. Their play-by-play guy told us how bad they were this week here on the show. They're terrible. Go
that
beat
really
a terrible
is the
football team.
It's the ultimate barometer, right? The play-by-play guy came on and said they stink. That's how you know they stink.
Do it again. Give me Bob Wischusen again. This is the best of the worst of the New York Jets. The question was, so when Kyle Shanahan looks at the film, what is he going to see?
Well, if he just turns on the tape from the game against Buffalo, I'm not 100% sure what he would identify as the greatest strength. He would probably find plenty of weaknesses. That was a bad performance for them. You know, they were down 21-0. Josh Allen fumbled twice, and the Bills missed two field goals. So it could have been 40-0 at halftime. It was 21-3. It was non-competitive. I mean, the Jets were 3-and-out on their first three possessions. They couldn't run the ball. You know, Le'Veon Bell got hurt. They turned it over. It was not a good performance. It was a non-competitive performance overall. I worry about their physicality at linebacker. They're just not physical. You know, between the tackles, they're very blockable.
Okay, how's Sam Ficken, the kicker?
He's consistent. He's been good. I guess we're going to lean on that, right? And they got a rookie punter that they drafted. He had a nuclear leg. He got plenty of opportunities opening day to show it. So, yeah, special teams was okay, I guess.
He used some synonym of it was a bad performance like 7 times in that soundbite. It's unbelievable.
I counted 2 non-competitives.
Yes. It was a non-competitive performance. It was a bad performance. It was not a good performance. They're blockable.
And when you think that they only lost by 10,
yeah,
they must have been god-awful. And he had to make offensive judgments based on a team that couldn't even have the ball a third of the time.
The D-line needs to dominate this football game.
Yes.
That's where it is. That's it. That's it. But D Ford isn't ready. Well, D Ford might not never be who you want him to be. So forget him. Eric Armstead, go be a football player. Go be
a
football
question.
Player. Go be a football player this week. Go be a football player, Nick Bosa. We were just talking to Brian Baldinger, who says that you beat your man like a rented mule, and the only reason why he didn't sack Kyler 4 times is because Kyler Murray moves at the speed of light. Sam Darnold does not move at the speed of light.
No, he does. The only thing that moves like the speed of light off Sam Darnold is the light that lets you physically see him. Otherwise, it's very slow.
Wow. Getting on him for being a ginger. That's kind of low.
Look, Sam Darnold, I do think whether Sam Darnold has a chance to be good is a very separate question from whether Sam Darnold should scare you this Sunday, right?
Oh, no, he shouldn't scare you at all, no matter
exactly
who you are. If you're the New York Giants, he shouldn't scare you.
And he may someday be good, but he's young. He has no talent around him. He has an entire first-year offensive line. Like, circumstance, and no running backs. His circumstances are conspiring against him even more than Garoppolo's are right now.
Yeah, he's getting the full Alex Smith debut treatment. We took you high. We're going to put you on a team that cannot help you in any way and in all likelihood will get you hurt a lot.
It's not a great strategy.
It really
no,
isn't.
It's not.
By the way, just looking around, the Los Angeles Rams are up to old tricks, which is giving somebody at the beginning of a season a huge contract extension. Would you believe me if I told you that the Rams gave Robert Woods a four-year, $65 million extension today?
I mean, I've always thought Robert Woods is really good. I did not think he was in the $16.5 million a year receiver bracket. That I didn't think he was... I didn't think those conversations would even get had about Robert Woods.
Somebody's got to bring that... somebody print out that article and just bring it to Brandon Ayuk and be like, see this? See this, Brandon? Look at what they're doing. Look at what they're look at what they're giving, guys.
I just hope nobody shows that article to Allen Robinson, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah, there's a problem. But
but listen, here's the other thing about that. Robert Woods is 28. I mean, that's late to pay a wide receiver that kind of money. So they're putting an awful lot on faith. And look, that's a team that has wide receiver depth for the most part, right? I'm surprised, and it leads to a point I've been wanting to make and just waiting for the right time. Do you know who the Rams need most?
Roman Gabriel.
Yeah, Nick Bosa? Oh, I don't know.
Parag.
Oh, look, I mean, they are spending money like a drunken sailor on a few positions. They really, truly are. I mean, how much of their cap now is wrapped up in Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Jared Goff, and now Robert Woods?
A ton. I mean, a huge percentage on those four players who, while, you know, all pretty good and varying levels, some incredible, I'm just not sure it's functional to keep paying guys that much money.
You're going to absolutely be robbing from other places on your team to pay those guys going forward. So where do you feel comfortable doing that? I mean, Jalen Ramsey is a very good corner. Might be me out there next year playing the other corner.
And we've seen right here in front of our faces that sometimes you could have the best corner in the league who no one wants to throw at on one side of the field, and that just means they're going to pick on the other guy.
Totally. Ask Akilah Witherspoon and Emmanuel Mosley, who, you know, I think I started the show with this point. I kind of want to circle back here. I don't think anyone expects Emmanuel Mosley or Akilah Witherspoon to go out there and look like a Pro Bowl corner where you just shut down, you know, you cover one-third of the world and the ocean's got the other two-thirds. It's just not going to happen. But if there were ever, with all due respect to the other guys who are also pros, if there were ever a group of those guys who are also pros to go out and really test who you are against with a little bit of an easier curve, looking at the New York Jets is exactly who Emmanuel Mosley and Akilah Witherspoon should be happy that they're seeing in their first, hey, it's you and me as the starting corners this week.
Because no doubt.
It's Breshad Perriman, who's already banged up. Jamison Crowder has been ruled out of the game. He's not going. Chris Hogan was a training camp injury addition. Braxton Berrios, 6 catches last year for New England. No one's ever even heard of him. I believe he's owned on 0% of all fantasy teams ever.
Bernard Berrian, you said?
Yeah, Berrios.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I have no idea who that is.
Chris Herndon, the tight end. It's not a murderer's row of weapons. So, Emmanuel Mosley and Akilah Witherspoon, if you can't look good against this group, what group could we presume you are ready to handle? Because this is probably the worst wide receiver group that you are going to play against all year long. And maybe next week is the second. So it's a good couple of weeks for them to be asked to do more than their normal workload. And that brings us back to the defensive line. That brings us back to Nick Bosa against Mekhi Becton. That brings us back to Eric Armstead, Javon Kinlaw, who Brian Baldinger broke down, had a better game than you thought he did. Those guys go out there and get their job done. All of a sudden, this entire defense starts falling into place. And you know what? Kawan Alexander made a play. Oh, there's Dre Greenlaw taking down a quarterback who isn't markedly faster than he is. That's when this defense starts looking normal again. And that's how they win this game.
Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Trent Williams, thank you very much for joining us today on Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I appreciate y'all for having me on.
No, we're really happy to have you on, man. Obviously, it wasn't the outcome anyone was looking for, but just the highlight reel of your week one blocks alone. I mean, you're serving more pancakes than breakfast, so welcome to town.
Say that again. I didn't hear the last part.
I was saying, welcome to town. It is really good to see you.
Appreciate it, man.
No, we have not talked to you yet, and it's good to have you on here. It ain't easy replacing a guy like Joe Staley. So if you can go out and get a 7-time Pro Bowler to do that, you're very lucky to do that. When you heard San Francisco had made the trade for you, how happy were you about that?
I was ecstatic, man. I felt like I had to pinch myself to wake up. Like, it was a dream location. And, you know, generally things don't work out, and, you know, the dream situation don't always work out. So I was just extremely thrilled to know that the dream situation actually paid off for me.
But the fact that you were going from where you were going, probably any trade would have looked good. What did you sort of, when you got here, what was the first thing you noticed that was starkly different from Washington?
The vibe was night and day difference. You can just tell everybody here is, you know, they're comfortable in their own skin, but everybody's here to work. And everybody's close. It's a very close-knit group. You can tell the coaches and the players had outstanding relationships, and the players had outstanding relationships with each other. The locker room is just, it's a joy to be in, to be around. And, that just jumped out to me as soon as I walked into the facility.
So coming into seeing you play, we heard from virtually everyone we talked about, Trent is capable of being the best left tackle in the league. It just depends what all the time off might have done to him. And obviously, based on what we saw on Sunday, the answer would be it hasn't done a whole lot, if anything. What did you do, especially with a short training camp, to reach that level after being off for so long?
You know, I stayed focused, and I was motivated. You know, I had went through a very dark time in my life, and it was a lot of doubters. You know, a lot of people doubted the fact that I could, you know, come back and still be a Pro Bowl caliber player or All Pro caliber player. And I heard all the whispers, and I just used that as gas in my tank, and I knew that my day would come to show everybody and to prove everybody I'm still the best left tackle in the league, and I just had to patiently wait on that and be prepared for it.
Watching you crush dudes in the second level, Trent, it's like manslaughter. I mean, you were just lighting guys up. You were blocking a guy at the 15. He would land at the 19-yard line. It was really, really an impressive debut for you. Like we said, we know that you can't be happy with the outcome, but every game, even a loss, has silver linings. As you guys have looked at the film against Arizona, what did you think went well offensively for the 49ers Sunday?
Honestly, everything but third down. I feel like we had our way with them. It was times we just did whatever we wanted to do, whether it was passing the ball, whether it was play action, whether it was running the ball. I think we kind of got rolling, and it was just a couple mistakes and a couple little things. You know, football is a game of inches, and obviously you see that with the touchdown that didn't go our way on the goal line. It was maybe an inch off. Well, I think it was an inch over, but, you know, the call is the call. But, you know, just little things like that, the block punt. You know, it's just overcoming the little things that usually you don't happen. And I think that's the silver lining for us, is to know that we did run the ball. We did pretty much protect the quarterback how we were supposed to. Just clean up a couple small things, and I think we're right on track where we need to be. And, I mean, a lot of people kind of look at Arizona and write them off, but you look at the last 2 to 3 meetings that this team and Arizona has had, it came down to the last play on pretty much every time. So we expected that in a division game, and you can't give up those things like block punts, or you got to convert on 4th and goal. And I think, you know, we can build off there and we'll be better next week.
Since you brought up Arizona, Trent, I mean, that's a Sooner over there. It's a Heisman Trophy winning Sooner playing quarterback as a, you know, Sooner, you know, you recognize talent when you see it, especially when it comes from your own school. What did you think of Kyler Murray, who I think just kind of, he blew us all away a little bit on Sunday?
Yeah, he's a game changer. You see why he was number one overall pick. You see why he was a Heisman Trophy winner. Is that he can change the game. You can beat all 5 guys across the board. You can cover every wide receiver, and he can still gain 40 yards and not get touched. And that in itself is hard to deal with. And not only will it be hard for us to deal with, it'll be hard for anybody to deal with. And I just think that speaks volumes to who Kyler is and the player he is. And, you know, it sucks that he's in the division. Hopefully we figure out a way to slow him down next time.
What have the 49ers asked you to do differently in a stylistic way than you were doing in Washington? Have they asked you to emphasize different strengths of your game that Washington asked you to do? Or have the 49ers just said, do what you did, here a little, you know, here's a trick here or there for this play, but for the most part, we don't want you changed?
It was a little bit of both. More so, I made a lot of changes. There was a lot of technique changes that I had to make to be uniform with the offense and the offensive line. It improved my game as well. It's not like I had to take a back seat or anything, or had to, you know, sacrifice anything. You know, Coach Bitten and Coach First is kind of, you know, I was off a year and a half, so it was some things that I still had to clean up. And you know, they helped me, and like you said, to answer your question, there was some things like in the run game that they, you know, angles and things that they wanted me to change, and things that would help me and help the play. From, you know, it was different from when I first learned it to how they run it now, and there was just little subtleties like that and little nuances that I just had to catch on to, and coaches did a really good job with helping me out, and the players did as well. Lakin, Mike, Glinch, you know, Ben, a lot of the people that was here, they helped me out with the newer techniques. And, you know, I was just trying to master everything before we had to jog out there and you know, on Sunday with real bullets flying.
You mentioned earlier that you sort of saw coming here as a dream scenario, and I'm guessing part of that has to do with playing for Kyle Shanahan again. What makes Shanahan a special coach to play for in your mind?
He's a player's coach in every sense of the word. He understands the players. He relates to the players. He's been around this game his entire life since he was in diapers. And not just football, but the NFL, he's been around. His dad is the innovator of a lot of the offense that we see today. And he took from that. And, you know, he's the best coach you can think of as far as playing for, as far as motivating the players, as far as scheme-wise, as far as just understanding his team. I think Kyle has really kind of matured into that role where he's a coach that everybody would love to play for.
A 7-time Pro Bowler, Trent Williams, starting left tackle of the San Francisco 49ers, joining us here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. So we didn't get to see much, if any, of training camp, and obviously the preseason didn't happen, which means we only got to read about the matchups and what happened in practice, and every time we went into what reporters were reporting on, it was the battles between you and Nick Bosa. You know an awful lot about talented defensive ends. You block them for a living. Where would you rank Nick Bosa right now, and what potential does he have?
He's definitely, I mean, literally right now as we speak, in his second year, he's already top 5, and he's not number 5 of guys who I went up against and seen closely. I think he will continue to ascend, and I think he will definitely be the best, if not the top three best in this league, I mean, for years to come. And you already see it today, so I mean, he can do that in 2 years. Imagine what he'll look like in year five. Imagine what he'll look like in year six, you know, when he's been around. And he's nothing he hasn't seen before. I think it'll be a terror, especially for, you know, the offensive tackle. So, you know, luckily he's in my locker room, and I can practice with him as opposed to having to try to figure out a way to stop him on Sunday.
Is it hands? Is it speed? What makes him a different cat than the rest?
Well, when you got a guy that's that good, it's a little bit of everything. You don't get that good by just doing one thing, by just having good hands, or just by being fast, or just by being strong. I think it takes a combination of all three. And I think that's what we're looking at with 97. He has the total package. He has the speed. He has the quickness. He has the power. And most of all, he has the hands, which are elite. And I think that's why you see him having so much success every Sunday.
When week 14 comes and you guys are playing Washington, do you think enough time will have passed for you to just look at that as just another game, or is that just going to stand out in your head from the moment week 13 ends till kickoff?
Honestly, man, you know, a lot of those guys on that team, I still know. I still keep in contact with them, very close with. I literally don't have any ill will feelings towards the team. You know, I think what I went through was kind of just dealing with a couple individuals, you know, at the top. But as far as the team, I don't have any animosity towards those guys. I mean, I can't wait to see them. You know, I can't wait to play against them. And, you know, I think it'll be fun. But I'm not, like, circling down the counter like I had to get revenge. I think my revenge is just being a dominant player every Sunday and, just kind of showing everybody what they could have had or what they missed. So that'd just be my revenge as a whole. I'm not looking to go in and try to, you know, kill people on the Washington roster just to prove a point. You know, I think as a dominant player, and if you look at yourself as a dominant player, you should want to do that every game, you know. So I think that's just the kind of mindset I carry into it.
The best revenge is living well, they say, I think. So I don't know how aware you guys are inside the locker room of this, but on the outside since Sunday, there's been an awful lot of criticism of Jimmy Garoppolo. It seems to me that there's always been a really deep faith in him from within the locker room. As a newcomer to that locker room, have you noticed the same thing? And why do you think that is, that everyone is so steadfast in support of him?
Because I think everybody knows what type of player he is, and everybody can see it. We see it every day. You know, obviously, Jimmy is he's an easy target for a lot of criticism just because he is the quarterback of the team. And he's, you know, he's clean-cut guy. He don't really have anything, you know, negative to say about him. He's just, you know, it's easy for people to just pick him out, you know, because he's not going to respond to it. He's going to keep coming to work every day and doing his due diligence to be the best quarterback he can be for us. And we all believe in him. We got a saying here that I got your back, and you won't find anybody in this locker room to tell you different. We all got his back. We understand that quarterbacks take the most heat when you win and lose. And if we would have won, Jimmy would be the savior on Monday morning. But when we lose, we understand that he's going to be the first one, and then it'll trickle down. That's just the nature of the business, but we don't really get caught up in that.
Trent, is there more pressure on you to block for somebody so handsome?
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, you know, I think it's just me. It's just pressure to perform well regardless who's back there. But you know, I mean, Jimmy is one of those, you know, he's one of those handsome guys that everybody likes to, you know, all the girls like, and, you know, everybody likes to write up, write reports about. So it's a double-edged sword for him, you know.
The playing against Arizona on Sunday, did you find that they were doing special things to deal with you based on the fact that even though you hadn't played in a year and a half, you were still somebody they had to account for in special ways? Or did they play you straight up, and how long do you think it will take for teams to start dealing with you in special ways?
I don't know. I feel like they played me straight up. I didn't really see a huge difference from the way they treated me or treated Mike or the, you know, guys from last year or anything. You know, I don't know. I don't know. Your question, that's a good question. I don't know whether people started game plan. I guess, you know, depending on how effective I can be, whether they think maybe we should account for Trent or not. But, you know, honestly, those guys carrying the ball in the backfield, you know, if you're worried about me, they're going to have a huge day. So I don't think anybody can say, hey, let's stop Trent or let's do something for Trent. I mean, those guys literally, you got a blink of an eye to catch them. And if you don't, they kind of, you know, they're going to tear your defense apart. So I think luckily for me, I can kind of hide behind all the offensive weapons we do have and just continue to play my game.
You're describing the guys in your backfield, but obviously the guy in the other backfield playing quarterback on Sunday does some ridiculous things. This is a little bit football nerdy, but how does that change the job of an offensive lineman when a quarterback goes off schedule, does so many creative things, but also has the ability to escape so easily?
For the offense as a whole, you know that you have to possess the ball. You know that the guy on the other side can make plays with his feet, so it keeps him in the game. It keeps, you know, on those third downs where everything is covered perfectly and he gets the first. Like, you know, you spend as an offense, you kind of spend a little more time on the sideline than you would like to, and I think that just picks up the sense of urgency to try to possess the ball. I don't think Sunday we did a good job. We didn't. Our third down percentages were, you know, as bad as they can be. So we didn't really give ourselves a chance by possessing the ball.
Trent Williams here on 95.7 The Game. Just another minute or two with him before we let him go. And I know that there are wide receiver concerns on the 49ers right now, and hopefully Brandon Ayuk is able to make his professional debut in New York. Mohamed Sanu has been brought in. But I'm just going back to the rumors that we heard about your feathery hands. Have you been lobbying Kyle Shanahan for like 9 different tackle eligible plays to be installed this week?
Nah, man, I'm trying to focus on playing left tackle. I dang sure don't want that ball in my hands. You know, it's fine when you're blocking guys who are taught to get away from you, but when you got all 11. Coming and gunning for you, I think that's a different aspect that not a lot of people take into consideration before that ball hit their hands.
Well, I'll tell you,
what
Trent,
kind of separation can you get?
Yeah.
I mean, I can get some separation, but, you know, I'm generally offensive line, you kind of would be the last, like, you got all 11 defenders in front of you. So no matter how much separation you create, there's going to be a few more coming. So,
I think you should be split out.
Creative play call to kind of get, you know, leak me open into the flats or somewhere up the field, and, you know, maybe that'll look good. But I dang sure don't want to get the ball and have to deal with 11 defenders, you know, gunning for my knees.
Look, man, Joe Steely picked up like 33 yards on a wheel route at Candlestick one day, and we're still talking about that. So if you ever get to do that, man, it would be good for the brand. I'll tell you, Washington's incompetence is a found fortune for the San Francisco 49ers. It is wonderful to have finally had the opportunity to talk with you. It was great catching up with you, and we wish you and all your teammates the very, very best going forward. As you get ready to take on the New York Jets, they didn't have a lot of good game film from week one. How do you approach a team that you know is also coming off a performance that they weren't too happy with?
Well, we know one thing for sure, is that they're just as hungry as we are, and their mouths is just as bitter as ours are from having a week one defeat. So regardless of what their records say or what you may get from the film, you know that you're going to get their best effort. Nobody wants to go 0-2. And, I mean, with the 49ers, once you play in a Super Bowl game, you won't get anybody's, you know, half effort. Everybody's going to want to knock off, you know, an NFC champion or a Super Bowl attendee. So it's for us, it's going to be like this every week. Every week we got to expect a dogfight, no matter who the opponent is or what the record may say. Everybody will find a little something deep down inside to try to beat the Niners.
Hey, well, I tell you what, you talk about hunger. How about this? To show you how much we appreciate you coming on the show today, you know, if you do these interviews, sometimes you get a $100 gift card to a restaurant or Amazon or something like that. We've taken it up another notch for you. It was so good catching up with you, Trent. Our friends at Harris Ranch Beef Company are going to send you a 10-pound case of USDA Prime New York steaks in appreciation of you joining us today and showing up in San Francisco. Has another radio show ever given you 10 pounds of prime USDA choice meat before?
I can absolutely say this is the first time, and I really appreciate it. And, you know, let me know when y'all want me to come back.
That's it. We only need another cow, and we can get Trent Williams back anytime. Trent, thank you very much. Best of luck all week as you prepare.
All right, sir. Thank you for having me on. Y'all take care.
The big man, Trent Williams, here on 95.7 The Game. He was our best guest of the week, and we had to play that for you one more time. A really excellent conversation with a guy who has taken to the Niners like a duck to water. Hopefully this team gets a win in New York. We know how banged up they are. We know how banged up the Jets are, but they got to go play a game and they got to win it. No excuses, baby. Come back 1-1. And when I say come back, I don't even mean come all the way back. They're going to go to West Virginia and then play the Giants next week. And we'll be ready for that. Thanks so much to Nick Ferguson and Brian Baldinger for joining us here today. Thanks to the studio. Thanks to Kolsky for the corner. Thanks to Ratto for everything. And thanks you for listening. Really appreciate it. Stay tuned. Coming up next, it's the Football Hour with Sean Salisbury. When he wants to talk about the New York Jets, all he does is call Joe Namath. He's coming up at 6 o'clock here. Thank you very much for tuning in. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.